And I'm glad I'm not who I was. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible this morning, there should be one in the pew in front of you, and I encourage you to get a Bible and follow along. You can't count on me to always have good things to say, but the Bible always has good things to say. Some of you amen that a little bit too readily. A public service announcement for you this morning, just as a side note, just to help you guys out. If you forget to put your seatbelt on, you want to make sure you don't wear a white shirt, I learned today. Because if you're wearing a white shirt, it's easy for the police officer to notice that you're not wearing your seatbelt. So if you're going to not wear your seatbelt, you want to wear a shirt that matches the color of the seatbelt. Or maybe you should just put your seatbelt on. It'll save you time and money. That was all for free. You're welcome. I couldn't decide whether to share that with you or not, but one of my boys came out of Sunday school wanting to know if I actually got a ticket or not. So I figured it was out. Might as well just fess up and get it over with. But the good news is the trooper said that he might come to church here sometime. So there you go. Good times. I'll pay $20 to get somebody to come to church anytime. Amen. Yeah, it's been one of those days, in case you were wondering. I told you it feels like a lot of people are under attack spiritually, and our world is in a lot of turmoil, and boy, does that just go right along with the message today. But we're studying through the book of Hebrews, and we've gone verse by verse. We come now to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. But before we read verse 7 for our text, just where you're at sitting this morning, look back at verse 1, and let me remind you just very quickly. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we have looked through the book of Hebrews. We've seen that Jesus Christ is greater. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the prophets of old. He's greater than the priests of old. I mean, Jesus Christ is greater. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And so we get through all of that to come to chapter 11 so that we can understand that it's by faith that we know God. Now, a lot of people, you need to get this, a lot of people have the idea that God changed somehow between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. But the fact is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed at all. Now, God deals with people in different ways, and that is true, but understand this, no one ever got a relationship with God and entrance into his kingdom by religion. Nobody ever kept some sacrament or performed some sacrifice in order to gain entrance into God's kingdom. That's not the way it is today. That's not the way that it ever has been. In the song that Heather sang just a minute ago, she said, there's only one reason I'm going to be in heaven someday. It's because Jesus Christ paid for my sins. And that's the reality. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. And his blood wasn't just a covering for our sins. The blood of Christ takes away our sin forever, once for all. And that's the only way that any of us are going to have a relationship. And God has always wanted a close relationship and fellowship with you. You realize that? The God of heaven, the one who created the heavens and the earth, he wants to have a relationship with you, and it's only by faith that we can have that relationship. And it was by faith that Abel offered a better sacrifice. And because Abel had faith in God, even though he's dead, he still speaks. What does that mean? He still lives. Cain killed him, but the spirit of Abel went on to be with God in heaven, and he lives eternally today. Enoch not only walked with God just in practice or some kind of religious activity, no, he walked with God by faith. He trusted in the Lord, and because he had a close walk with God, he got to go straight to heaven. He didn't even die. And what a picture of the rapture for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, in the last days, there's going to come a day. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but there's going to come a day when Christ is going to come and he's going to catch up his saints into heaven to be with him forever and ever. And friends, I believe that day could come at any time. I don't know much, but I don't know of anything in the scriptures that would prevent the Lord from coming, even today. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if you want to come to God, and listen, any reasonable person wants to come to God. God's in heaven. God gives eternal life. The alternative is judgment and condemnation and eternal death. So any reasonable person would say, I want to go where God is. Well, if you want to do that, you have to believe in him. You don't just believe in God in some concept of supreme being or even a creator God or an intelligent designer of the universe. No, you must believe in him as he has revealed himself in this book. You got to believe what he says about himself in here. You got to believe that God is, that he is who he said he is. And so that's the only way we can come to him. And so then we come to verse 7 this morning. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of God. We've got one verse for our text. We're going to look at a lot of other verses this morning and let the word of God speak to your heart today. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all who have come to study your word today. And I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. And Lord, we do live in a tumultuous time, in a troublesome time. And we see the prophecies that you've given about the last days coming true day by day. And Lord, we know that our time here on this earth is short. And Father, I pray that if there is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in the service today who has never been saved, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would turn away from their own understanding, their own way, their own sin, they would turn from that to you and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, that they would believe and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, today, that they would pray, trust in you, and be saved today. And Lord, I pray for all who are saved that we would live for you, that we would be preachers of righteousness and be faithful and walk with you, Lord, like Noah did. Lord, just convict our hearts today and teach us, change us by your word, and help us, Lord, to be witnesses in this world in which we live today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Men, please be seated. Very simply today, I want to talk to you about the faith of Noah, the reason and the result of his faith. The reason and the result of the faith of Noah. Look at our text. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and because he believed God, he moved with fear. And we need to get this today, friends. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to the men, some of those men in the Old Testament, in a different way than he speaks to us today. But he spoke to Noah, and when God heard the word of when Noah heard the word of God, he responded to it. And he responded with fear and obedience. Now you and I, we have God speaking to us today. And he does it through his word. And he does it through the conviction of his Holy Spirit. And when God speaks to us today, it ought to cause us to believe him, and it ought to cause us to respond to him in faith and obedience. We ought to hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and obey the word of God. That's the example that Noah has given to us. And because Noah obeyed, because he believed, he saved his household. He saved his own life, and his wife was saved, and his boys were saved, and their wives were saved. But it was only because Noah believed. Now, any reasonable person here today would say, I want to be saved. I want my spouse to be saved. I want my kids to be saved. I want the people who are in my house to be saved. Amen. Don't you? Amen. Of course you do. Well, we're only way that's going to happen is if we respond in faith to the word of God. Amen. And believe the word and act accordingly today. God warned him. And I want to, if you can hold your place here in Hebrews and turn to Genesis chapter 6, I want to look at some scriptures, several scriptures there this morning. The writer of Hebrews does a remarkable thing. In one verse, he summarizes three chapters from the book of Genesis. He takes everything that happened with Noah and the flood, and he puts it all into one verse. It's an amazing thing. We're going to kind of unpack that just a little bit this morning. Genesis 6 and verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now you need to understand something. God created the world. People sometimes accuse God and say, if God's so good and loving and kind, why didn't he make the world without sin? And the answer to that is he did. He created everything perfect, without sin. There were no thorns and thistles. There was no, animals didn't even eat other animals. The world was perfect and good, and that's the way God made it. But God didn't create robots. God created people with free will, and he gave them the ability to choose whether to obey God or to rebel against God, and mankind chose to rebel against God. And so sin came into the world, and the whole creation was cursed because of the sin of mankind. And so when sin came into the world, and every child that was born of the race of Adam was born with the sin nature, this world got worse and worse and worse and worse. Let me take a little side note. A lot of people are upset. They're worried about America not progressing forward. I want to tell you, the nations of the world, if you must today, you could step outside the Bible and just look at history. Nations get worse and worse and worse and worse as they get progressive. You don't believe me? Just look at history. You don't even have to look at ancient history. You can look at England. You can look at Europe, the Great Britain. You can look right there and see the nations of Europe, how progressive they've gotten and how much worse they've gotten. And America's following right in suit. You can go back to ancient history. You look at Rome and Greece and all of those nations. As they got more progressive, they got worse and worse. That's what's happening in America today. It's exactly what happened in Noah's day. And they got worse and worse and worse to the point that God said, all mankind thinks about is only evil continually. When God looked at the hearts of men, that's what he saw. And verse 6 says, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. You need to understand the word repent. In our New Testament, the Greek word means to change your mind, but the word can also mean to be sorry. And that's what God, it means. It didn't mean that God changed his mind in the sense like we change our mind about our sin. God didn't repent of sin because God can't sin. But God did feel sorry. He was grieved. It says it right in the same verse. He was grieved. When he looked at the wickedness of mankind, it broke his heart. Amen. Some of you got kids, you can understand this. When your kids mess up, sure you get upset, you get angry, but it also breaks your heart. Amen. Doesn't it? Amen. I mean, we get frustrated, we get aggravated, kids do stupid things and all that, but deep down in our heart, when our kids really mess up, it breaks our heart. And that's the way God felt when he looked at mankind. Look at verse 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so when God looked down at earth, he saw this corruption, he saw this sin, he saw this wickedness, he saw this violence in people's hearts. And listen, friend, is our world not filled with violence today? I mean, can you watch the news and not see somebody got murdered or see somebody got attacked or see that there was a terrorist attack somewhere in the world? Every day we hear about violence going on. Listen, if you spend any time on the computer, if you watch any videos on YouTube or Facebook, on my feed, I don't know how many it comes through a day where there's, I mean, just fights at school or fights in the street or fights here and fights there. It's all violence everywhere you look. And it's just, man, it just sounds a lot like it was in Noah's day, doesn't it? But Noah, verse 8, look back at verse 8. But Noah. And God looked down on the whole face of the earth, the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or who knows how many thousands of people inhabited the planet at that time. But when God looked down, there was one man who found grace in his eyes. And do you know why the grace of God was on Noah? Because Noah believed God. Now, you got to read between the lines here just a little bit, but you need to understand, I believe with all my heart that God made himself available to anybody who wanted to come to him. He always has. And all of these people shunned God and embraced the corruption, but Noah was different. Noah believed God, and God's grace came upon his life because he believed God. Well, how do you know he believed God? Because it was by faith that Noah did what he did. By faith that he walked with God. By faith that he built the ark. By faith that he did what God called him to do. By faith that he was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he believed God. And friends, God's grace is available to you if you will believe him. Amen. Believe his word, and his grace can come on your life. And these are the generations of Noah. The Bible says in verse 9 that Noah was a just man. You know what that means? It means he was righteous before God. He was made right with God. He had a right standing before God. You say, well, man, it must be because he was perfect. It says he was perfect in his generation. So do you think that means that Noah was sinless? Listen, this hasn't changed, friends. It's the same true today. 1 John tells us that a man says that he has no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if a man says he has no sin, he makes God a liar. So if you think you can live in sinless perfection, you are lying to yourself and you're calling God a liar. What being perfect means, it means that he was mature. It means that he was upright. It means that he was walking in the grace of God and living a righteous life. It doesn't mean that he never sinned. We know better than that. When he got off the ark, he got drunk and was naked in front of one of his sons. It was sin before God. He wasn't a perfect man without sin. He was a perfect man in that he was righteous and mature and walked with the Lord. There's one man who walked on this earth with sinless perfection, and his name was Jesus Christ. So what are you saying? It's okay if we don't even try? No. We want to be like Noah. We want to be just before the Lord. We want to be perfect before the Lord. We want to be growing, walking in holiness. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. And can I help you out? You don't live in the corruption of the world and walk with God at the same time. You can't do it. It's impossible. Amen. And so many Christians today in America want to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. And God says you can't do that. You're either cold or you're hot. You want to kind of mix it and do a little bit of both. And God said, I'll vomit you out. He has no desire for that. He wants all of you. And you and I, we can't live in corruption and sin and walk with God. And Noah didn't do that. Noah walked with God. But look at the condition of the world. The earth was corrupted before God. It was filled with violence. It was corrupt. And look at verse 12. He goes on at the end of verse 12 and says, "For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Listen, he said everybody, every human being on the planet except for Noah and his wife and his children, that everybody else is corrupt. It's filled with violence and corruption, and God was done. And listen to me, friends, God is long-suffering and merciful and kind, and his mercy will go for a long ways. But sooner or later, judgment will come from God. Well, how can he be a loving God and judge and pour out wrath like that? Well, let me tell you, he's not only a loving God, he is a just judge. Well, we expect judges to do what's right, don't we? If you didn't get it this morning, I got pulled over by a state trooper, and he said, "Come back here in the car with me for a minute." And I honestly didn't realize, didn't even think about it until I saw the lights in the mirror, that I didn't have my seatbelt on. You ever done that? That's always a good time to remember your seatbelt. Brother Steve, he's with me today. Thank you, brother. Now, some of you may be really embarrassed. Your pastor got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. But let me tell you, here's the deal. I went back in his car and I sat down and he ran my numbers and all that good stuff. And he said, "Listen, I'm sorry." He apologized to me for giving me a ticket. I'm like, "Well, why'd you pull me over in the first place then if you didn't want to give me?" No, I didn't say that at all because I'm not that stupid. He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "No, it's okay. It's my fault. I should have had my seatbelt on." Right? Amen. If you don't want to pay the ticket, then put your seatbelt on. That's the way that goes. He said, "Well, Oklahoma law won't allow me to give you a warning for not wearing a seatbelt." I didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that, and maybe I've helped you today. He said, "If it's speeding or something like that, I can write a warning, but this is something different. I can't give you a warning for not wearing your seatbelt." Okay, that's the law. That's the way it is. I expect the state trooper to uphold the law. That's his job, right? If he's got some leeway, if he can give a warning, great. If he can't, he can't. That's I expect him to do that. I want the troopers to do what the law says. And you know what else? I want judges to do what the law says. Listen, if somebody murders one of my family members and they go before the judge and the judge finds this person guilty of murdering one of my family members and they says, "Listen, we've got 10 eyewitnesses that saw you murder this person," and the person is there before the judge and he finds them guilty and he says, "Do you have anything to say for yourself before I pass sentence?" And they say, "I'm really, really sorry. I murdered that person. I promise I'll never, ever do it again." And the judge says, "Oh, well, okay. Well, you can go free then." I mean, how would you feel if there was a judge that did that? You'd be disgusted with that judge. That judge ought to be strung up for being so unrighteous. And friends, listen to me. God is not unrighteous, and he will not turn a blind eye to sin. He can't do it. If he did, he would be unjust himself. And sin has a penalty that must be paid, and you need to hear me today. The penalty of sin is death. When Adam sinned against God, death came into the world, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. And friends, you need to understand today that we are separated from God because of our sins. And God is a good and a just judge, and he will not turn a blind eye to sin. And God had gotten filled up with the sin of mankind. Now, I told you last week that Enoch had a son named Methuselah, and Methuselah lived for 969 years. And the name Methuselah means, "When he is dead, it shall come to pass." And I believe without a doubt that Methuselah was a prophecy that when he died, God would send the flood. He would send judgment. And he lived longer than anybody. You see, God was long-suffering. God was merciful. He gave people almost 1,000 years. And Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And God sent these men to preach to people, "You need to repent. You need to believe in God. Have faith in God and receive his grace." And the people said, "No, we don't want to believe in God. We don't want to follow God. We want our corruption. We want our sin. We want to keep living in all this fleshly fun." And guess what happened? God let them choose to reject him. And God allowed them to do that, but he continued to warn them and warn them and warn them, repent and believe, repent and believe. And when they wouldn't, finally Methuselah died and the flood came. And listen to me today, people, it's no different. The world is corrupt. The world is filled with violence. And there are men like me and people like people in this church who go around with our gospel tracts and we try to talk to people and say, listen, do you realize that we face judgment without Christ? Do you realize that if you died today in your sin, you'd end up in hell and we don't want you to end up there? But God loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. If you just turn from your sin and trust in Christ, you could have eternal life and forgiveness of sin and God's grace would be on your life. And people say, oh no, I don't want God. I don't want religion. I don't want all that. I want to stay in my sin. And God will let them choose that. But it doesn't change the fact that judgment will come. And friends, the next judgment that God sends is not going to be a flood. It's going to be fire. Eternal fire that cannot be quenched. And let me tell you, that the people in Noah's day, they thought they had plenty of time. And in Noah's day, they kept marrying and giving and marrying. They kept eating and drinking and going on. And in Noah's day, they said, it's just going on the way that it's always been. Noah, listen, we heard Methuselah, we heard Enoch, we heard all that preaching, but it's just the same today as it's always been, all the way up until the water started falling. And it's the same today. People say, I've heard all that stuff. I grew up in church. I've heard all that stuff. And it's the same today as it's always been. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. Until one day, your number comes up and you have to face God in judgment, friend. And you don't want to do that without Christ as your Savior. I've actually heard people tell me that when they get close to dying, they'll repent and they'll get saved. I didn't even know what to say. It was really hard not to call them stupid. I mean, how many of you know that you're going to die one day? Let me help you out. Everyone should raise your hand. This is a fact. 10 out of 10 people die. I know I'm going to die. This is a very uplifting message. I know. You're all going to die. Can anybody tell me when you're going to die? How many of you know when you're going to die? Buddy, when I was in high school, we had a foreign exchange student from France, and he told me a story in his hometown he came from in France. A man tried to commit suicide. You'd think somebody who wanted to commit suicide would know when they were going to die. This man managed to shoot himself in the head 4 times, and he lived. If he was depressed before, can you imagine? That was awful. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something, people. You don't know when you're going to die. Even if you wanted to die today, God, if God doesn't want you to, you'll fail. You're not in control of your life. And when you die, God has your days appointed on this earth. The problem is you don't know when it is. I plan to live to 120. I think that's a reasonable goal. Gonna have to lay off the little Debbies. But other than that, maybe start walking some more, get some cardio in. But I might not make it to 40. Some of you look a little sad now. Thank you. None of us know, and I'm just trying to tell you that God's trying to warn you today. Judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And those people, they wouldn't listen to Noah. The Bible says, in 2 Peter 2:5, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and there's no doubt that he preached. And we read last week that Enoch, he was a preacher and proclaimed the truth of God to people, and they didn't listen. Of all the people that heard the message, no one believed except for his own immediate family. And what a tragedy. Well, I want to tell you very quickly, in verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of the fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And look at verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. Brother Dave's got a picture, if we can get it up on the screen. I want to show you a comparison of the ark. Now, a cubit was measured basically from the elbow to the end of the hand. And so there's a little variation in the calculations. It's at least 18 inches is a cubit. So Noah's ark would have been at least 450 feet, but it could have been as much as 600 feet, depending on which cubit is used. But if you see here the comparison, the Santa Maria, the Wyoming, you see the Titanic, the Queen Mary II, these ships, but you got to understand that this was thousands of years ago, and this was built in the wilderness, and this was built before there was rain on the earth. And look at the size of this thing. And for thousands of years, ships weren't built anywhere near this size. Well, how in the world did Noah come up with that, living in the wilderness? Because God gave it to him. You study the proportions, and God made the proportions of it, the length and the width and the height, such that it would be stable. The interesting thing about the ark is that the ark didn't have any kind of rudder to steer it. The ark didn't have any kind of sails to drive it. Listen, this thing, the Hebrew word just means a box, basically. It's a box. It's a box where I'm going to keep all the things I'm going to save, God said. I want you to build me a box. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save all the air-breathing animals on the planet. That was it. Now, people today tell me that it would be impossible for a man to build something like that. It only took him 120 years to build it. And he had the help of at least his sons. And he very likely hired other people to help. Did you ever think of that? I'm amazed at how people want to look at this right here. Do you see it? This concept of the ark. So many people want to look at that, and they want to deny everything in the Bible because they find this hard to believe. It's interesting to me, the same people who are skeptics and say there's no way that God flooded the whole earth, there's no way that that happened, are the same people who go to movies like Leonardo DiCaprio's movie Before the Flood. The same people who deny the Bible are the ones that are telling us the world's about to flood because of humans' carbon emissions and global warming. God couldn't have done it, but we're going to do it because we drive cars and have electricity. I'm telling you the truth. The same people who deny God sent a world flood are the same people who want to tell us that we're going to cause a flood. Why? Because people choose what to believe. The people in Noah's day chose whether to believe God or not, and people choose whether to believe God today. My hope is that you would choose to believe the God who loved you so much that he gave his son for you. We might cause global warming. I'll not get into that. But I know this, the world will not be destroyed by a flood. Mark it down. The world will be destroyed by fire. They say, well, how in the world could Noah get all those animals onto the ark? But you got to understand, this thing was huge, 450 feet long, at least 60 feet high, and up to 100 foot wide. And Noah brought all of these animals. God sent all these animals to go onto the ark. There were two of every unclean and seven of each of the clean animals. But this thing was massive. This thing's like, they've estimated to be about 483 railroad cars. Which when you think about the animals, God told them to bring kinds. Now the kinds were not species. Kinds would be farther up the line. Now, I'll give you a little science reminder today. You guys remember the order, family, genus, species? Anybody remember that stuff from school? This means yes. This means no. Let me try that one more time. You guys remember anything about that stuff? Order, family, genus, species? Some of you have teachers that are in here today. Nod your head. Okay? So when you look at biblical kinds, God was most likely not talking about species. He was probably talking about all the way back up to the family level. Because from the family level, you can get all of the genus and species diversity that we have on the planet. In other words, Noah didn't take a Great Dane and a Chihuahua. He took two dog kinds. They might have been something like a wolf or something like a coyote or something like a Great Dane or something like a German Shepherd. It could have been something like any of those. But he took two dog kinds, probably two things from the family that we get dogs from. And from those two, as they began to breed and then multiplied and they spread out to different regions around the world, the diversity came in. And then people got involved and started making pick-a-poodles and chickadoos and I don't know what all kinds of nonsense. I have never seen such ridiculous animals in my life. And just as a side note, I figured it out. If any of you guys ever want to win the big dog show, Westminster, whatever it is, you just need to make the ugliest dog that you can possibly come up with, and it'll win. Those poor things are ugly. So God sent all these animals to save them. And the ark was plenty big enough. We're talking about a couple thousand animal kinds. Not hundreds of thousands of species, okay? And God did that. By the way, I'm just thinking, Noah's a smart guy. He probably didn't take full-grown elephants. He might have taken some adolescent elephants. Why would he take full-grown ones? He's got limited space, and he doesn't want to have to feed them as much. So take adolescents that are going to grow up, and they're going to be able to multiply. Listen, the fact of the matter is all of the different assaults that want to be made can be answered reasonably. They can be answered scientifically. But I want to say it again. At the end of the day, people choose to believe or to reject God because they choose to believe or reject God. It's your choice. I can give you scientific evidence all day long. We can talk about all those things. Any reasonable person would want to question, how is it that the highest mountains on the planet have sea fossils on the top of them? How are they getting clamshells off the top of Mount Everest? How'd that get up there? Well, there's a reason. You don't have to go that far. You can go to Missouri and Branson. They've uncovered some sinkholes came up there on a big fancy golf course, and they're spending millions of dollars to excavate it. And what they've discovered is that Branson, Missouri used to be underneath an ocean. I'm not surprised by that. But they're shocked. I'm just trying to tell you that all that stuff, but at the end of the day, you just have to choose whether or not you want to believe the Word of God. So God sent all the animals, and the Bible says Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, and they went into the ark, and God shut the door, and the rain began to fall. And not only did the rain begin to fall, but the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Now, people used to say there's not enough rain in the clouds. There's no way that it could have ever flooded the whole earth. And the answer was right there in the Bible the whole time. And the Bible says the fountains of the great deep were broken up. In other words, there's water under the ground. And it broke up and came up. And water was falling and water was rising. And people used to be skeptical about that. And now scientists know that all around the world, under the continents, there is water to this day. just like the Bible says. So we go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was it that was not seen? Well, rain wasn't seen because God watered the earth with a mist before the flood. What else wasn't seen? Well, God's wrath was poured out and judgment was poured out on the whole earth, and that had never been seen. But because God warned him and he believed God's word, the Bible says he moved with fear. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And that means the people who lived with him, his household. And friends, I want you to get this. Today, as God warns us of judgment to come, he warns us that those who die without Christ will spend eternity separated from God in hell. Today, he warns you, and as you hear that warning, you can be like Noah, and you can be moved with fear, and you can be saved today if you'll repent and believe the gospel. That Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day. You can be saved. Amen. Because you believe and you move with fear. And people tell me they don't like a fearful message. They don't like all that fear-mongering and stuff. Well, I'm just telling you today, you ought to be afraid of God. I'm still afraid of my mama. Don't tell her, though, because she doesn't know. That's reasonable to be afraid of your mom.
Amen.
Because she could dole out some punishment. And it is wise to be afraid of God. Because his wrath will come. And he is long-suffering and he is merciful. But sooner or later, the time will be up and you don't know when that time is. So be saved today. We see the reason, but notice the result. Because he moved with fear, because he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How did he condemn the world? The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So did he go around condemning everybody, telling them how sorry they were? No, he went around warning them that judgment was coming, and he went around telling them that they could be saved. And because he believed God and was obedient to God, his life condemned the world. And do you know what happens? You know why people don't love Christians today? Because when you love God and obey God, your life will condemn the world. And people hate that. When you're living a godly lifestyle, you get around people who are living a corrupt lifestyle, they don't like you. Just your very presence will make them feel bad. And you, by your actions, will condemn the world. And that's exactly what Noah did. And the Bible says, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, Noah wasn't preaching down to them and telling them they were sorry. He was telling them they could be saved. Amen. And the same thing's true today. We're not condemning the world, thinking we're better than anybody. No, we've just gotten on the boat, and we want other people to get on the boat, too. Amen. Listen, there ought not be anybody in this church that thinks you're better than anybody else. If you do, you need to repent. What we are is people who are sinners who've been saved by the grace of God, and we're trying to help other sinners be saved by the grace of God. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to invite you to look at one more passage before we close. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we'll go ahead and have our musicians come while we're looking at this verse. Matthew 24, if you can find verse 35. I've been telling you the whole time in this message that it seems like what we see in the world today is very, very much like what it was in Noah's day. And that ought to concern you. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I want to tell you today that God loves you, and He's made a way for you to be saved. And there was room, listen, there was room in that ark for other people to come in. God wasn't interested in only saving Noah. He wanted to save others. But they would not turn from their corruption and believe Him. And today, I want you to know there is plenty of room at the foot of the cross for you. You can repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He'll forgive your sin. He'll give you everlasting life. But you must repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your unbelief. Turn from the world. And turn to God. And believe, trust in your heart in Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who died for you and rose again. Friend, He will save you today if you'd repent and believe. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days, the last days, in the coming of Christ. Friends, it's going to be just the same. People are going to say, I've been hearing that my whole life. People are going to say, it's the same as it's always been. And they're just going to go on about their lives until one day judgment will come. There's no reason for you to wait. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. And while we get ready to sing, what number?
Page
531. Would you stand with us, please? If the Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart, you say, today, I need to be saved. You say, today, preacher, I've been saved, but somebody else I know needs to be saved. Would you come and pray for them? Whatever it is, if you need to be saved, if you need to be baptized, if you need to pray for someone else to be saved, the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Come right now.